Welcome so much to the show, John Arp. He's joining us this morning. He's the Vice President of Engineering Operations and Power Supply for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. John, we're so thankful for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative for empowering our communities and powering up this podcast. You are part of the whole infrastructure of REC. And when we hear that word infrastructure, it's really fancy word for just the lines and the power to it and all that kind of fun stuff, right? Can you talk to us a little bit about what your role is at REC? And as you talk about that, electricity is so essential to everything that we do. We take it for granted. We came in here, we turned on the lights, we turned on this equipment here, and it all worked. But it's not like that everywhere in the world. So talk to us a little bit about how, in your role, do you stay focused on providing that essential service?
Sure. And good morning, Kyle. Thank you for having me. Well, as you said, I'm the Vice President of Engineering Operations and Power Supply, and the two parts of that title that I'll focus on are engineering and operations. In this role, I lead the Department of Operations, which that's our line crews, our designers, the folks that are out there working with our members day in and day out to meet their needs. And then the engineering department is kind of behind the scenes. They're making sure that we're taking the right directives and the right actions to keep our system resilient, reliable, and safe. So you talked about the essential nature of electricity and how we conduct ourselves with that. And the first thing is that we understand and embrace the idea that the safety of our employees and the communities that we can serve is first and foremost. In all things we do. As an example of our dedication to safety, we were actually well ahead of the curve in our response to the pandemic. Literally in a matter of hours, we had implemented our pandemic guidelines, but we had also expanded those for specific parts of the COVID for ways to protect our employees. We changed reporting schedules. We enabled our employees to work remotely. We informed our employees of the actions we're taking and how those actions would make them safer and healthier in the workplace. One of our challenges, obviously, is that our line crews and our substation crews, member service field reps, and apparatus techs, they're all field employees. They can't work from home. So we took numerous precautions to help ensure their health and safety as well in how we did some of that scheduling and reorganization of their reporting schedules. A close second to safety is our dedication to maintaining reliability. Not only do we continue to apply those tried and true programs like line inspections, tree trimming, line upgrades, but we also embrace today's modern technologies to propel us to the future. As an example, we have installed automatic restoration devices between more than a dozen of our substations. These are systems and schemes that will detect an outage, detect a fault, and automatically transfer to an alternate line to restore our members' service within seconds. We also have a fleet of over a dozen small drones and nearly three dozen of our operations lines and forestry employees that are FAA certified as drone pilots. So they can respond after a major storm to go out and fly those drones up and down our right-of-ways to try to find where outages have occurred, where damages have occurred, and to speed restoration. So those are just two focuses, our focus on safety and reliability that show our dedication and understanding that the services we provide are absolutely essential.
You can just tell that you're extremely passionate about what you're doing, and it definitely translates very well. With all the construction coming up, and I just recently moved into a new development where REC is the electric provider, and you guys provide the best communication that I've ever received when it comes to, my electric provider. So thank you very much. But I just wanted to ask, with the increase of construction in our region and beyond, have you guys seen an increase in customers as well? And what does that really look like for you guys?
Yes, we have. Even if you go back through 2020 with the terrible strains of the pandemic, We continue to see growth from new connections, mostly residential, but we do see commercial and industrial growth as well. REC is very fortunate because the area of the state and the country that we do business in continues to see growth because of the strength of the utilities and the communities that we serve. Some utilities, most utilities and cooperatives across the country are seeing very little growth, if not negative growth. So we're very fortunate with where we are and the communities we serve. On top of that, we've also taken steps to help foster commercial development and growth in our region. We have industry experts that work with our prospective new commercial or industrial companies to facilitate the process and to share the strengths of our communities and the local infrastructures that are offered. That growth remains strong will only help add vitality to the regions that we serve.
Wow, yeah. So how do you, like, what is, specifically is REC doing to prepare for that growth? I mean, you drive around Fredericksburg, Stafford area, there are apartment complexes and new townhomes going up everywhere. How do y'all monitor that? It just seems like a lot to be watching for.
Well, the running joke from the engineers is that we have a crystal ball that tells us where the growth's going to be so we can prepare for it. In truth, it's actually a well-established process. If we look at the design of our system, it's got to be able to withstand the highest demands that are placed on it. Say, for example, during an extremely cold winter morning or an extremely hot summer evening. And what our engineering group does is a constant review of where growth is occurring, not just now, but in the future. And they're putting plans in place to focus our efforts where they need to be to serve those, not just residential, but also commercial and industrial consumers as they come online. As I said, we try to be predictive rather than reactive. And one of the exercises that we do every year is to review all the circuits on our system. And the way we do that is we look at the historic growth rates for all of our circuits, and then we add in where we know pockets of growth are occurring, and then we model that using software to see where is the system going to suffer failures in the future. And that's what guides our projects, is how to correct those shortcomings before they occur.
That's incredible, John. You talked a lot about technology and you all embracing it. I don't think anyone would be surprised to hear that there are new technologies all the time, even for energy creation. Can you talk a little bit more about your all's efforts to be more sustainable and reliable with some of those new technologies and what you all are doing to utilize some of those new technologies?
Sure. Well, Kyle, I answered your first question by focusing on safety and reliability, and those are core parts of our mission statement. But I'll quote our entire mission statement. It's connecting our members and communities with safe, reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy solutions. So though sustainability doesn't quite rank as high up as safety and reliability, it's also one of our core values. It's one of our core missions. We have over 1,000 members that are participating in our net metering program. And that number continues to climb every day. Net metering is a program that allows members to install renewable generators on their side of the meter to offset some or all of their home's needs or their business's needs for that matter. A few years ago, as an example of our dedication to fostering the renewable energy market, we saw that we were approaching the Virginia mandated limit for how much net metering capacity our members could add. Wow. We did understand that the state was taking steps to expand that, but we were going to hit the limit before they made the changes to the law. So we went ahead and allowed members to connect beyond what would be the limit, knowing that the state was going to change that limit within months. We've also stood up a community solar program. We call that our SunShare program. It offers our members a way to participate and support solar renewable without having to do the installation at their home. They can purchase blocks of solar energy. That's what we call the SunShares, these blocks of solar energy. And they apply that directly to their bill each month. And as an added bonus, those solar generators are located here in Virginia. So our latest development, which is actually scheduled to come online in the next few weeks, and I'm going to get technical here, please forgive me. It's a 2 megawatt, 8 megawatt hour battery storage system at our Brokenburg substation. To put those numbers in perspective, a 2 megawatt capacity is enough to serve about 2,000 residential members. And that 8 megawatt hour rating is enough to serve those 2,000 residential members for about 4 hours. So with this battery, we'll be able to ride through some of those outages that may occur for those served by that substation. But more critically, what this battery allows us to do is to operate it during those high peak periods. Remember, I said earlier that our system has to survive and withstand the highest peaks that it can experience. And what this battery allows us to do is store energy when load is low, and then discharge when load is very high to help reduce that overall peak. And that has a big impact on what we pay for generations and ultimately what our members pay for generation. So this battery storage is a new technology, but it's one that we expect going forward to have very positive benefits, both to reliability and that other core mission statement, affordability as well.
John, I think that's absolutely incredible. Some of the shortfalls that we've been seeing in these new sustainable technologies like wind power generation and solar power generation is exactly what you just described, which is the battery storage crux of that problem, because the sun don't always shine and the wind don't always blow, but if you've got batteries, then that increases the reliability of those new sustainable features. So thank you so much for your all's leadership in our region and leadership on these difficult and important issues. And thank you so much for keeping our lights on. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Kyle.